For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. June, of course, is Pride Month for the gay community, and it comes after a year of pandemic shutdown that forced a community already adept at fighting for its survival to fight harder and even more creatively than ever before. We're joined now by John Pepe, owner of Shay Est, which bills itself as Hartford's only LGBTQ restaurant, bar, and cabaret. John, I've checked that assertion out, and I can't disprove it. A Google search did seem to confirm that Shay Est is it in this town, and I have to admit, I found that surprising. What do you make of it?
We've been in business 45 years, and we've survived a pandemic now. We survived two fires, a relocation, bad economy, good economy. The community needs a home, so it's the community that really keeps it alive.
Well, it's interesting to hear you talk about the community needing a home, because I've seen so many articles in recent years talking about the fact that gay bars across the country are disappearing.
Correct.
And do you have any idea why that would be?
I attribute a lot of that to dating apps, to homosexuality and queerness being more widely acceptable, being more mainstream. You know, you can have your gay theater kid going out with the cheerleader, going out with the jock to the straight club, you know, and gay people don't have to hide anymore in these, you know, clubs that are located in bad neighborhoods and you know, dark alleys. You know, it's right there in the open now.
How trying has the pandemic been for your establishment, and how trying has it been for the area's gay community?
Well, I got pretty nervous there for a little while. I'm not going to lie. You know, when we were shut down, I went into a very deep, dark depression for like 3 or 4 days. I didn't leave the bed. I didn't shower. I didn't eat. And my husband said to me, "You need to get out of this bed and go and do something." And I was like, "What can I do? You know, there's nothing. I have nothing left, you know." And he's like, go paint the shed." So I was like, "A bucket of paint's only $100. I guess I can do that." So that $100 bucket of paint turned into a $35,000 renovation. So, and he said to me, "I told you to paint the shame, not put us in debt."
That's funny.
But so yeah, we had to transform the space. Luckily, I had there was a kitchen prior that was never used. It stopped being used like 4 or 5 years ago. And about 2 years ago, I got this crazy idea to gut the entire kitchen and put a brand new commercial kitchen in and open a restaurant. And everybody told me that I was nuts. And I got a Class 4 restaurant license, and, you know, we opened. A year later, the pandemic hits. We get shut down, and then 2 months later, you know, Governor Lamont said only restaurants can open, and I was like, score, because, you know, I had that restaurant license, and we turned the entire dance floor into a dining room, and people were able to sit, eat, drink, and watch the shows.
A definite instance of foresight coming in and bearing fruit later on.
Yes, absolutely.
As far as I know, that your club puts on drag shows, and the performers in those drag shows for about a year didn't have a place to perform those drag shows. How did they make it?
Well, we did virtual shows. Like, they still performed on the stage, and we podcasted it, streamed it on social media, on Twitch, on Facebook. And people at home sat and watched what they would normally watch at the Shay. And the performers got tipped via Venmo, you know, Cash App, whatever form of payment. I had, I think it was called StreamYard. And, you know, all their information was, you know, ticker taking across the screen. And, you know, I literally purchased probably $2,000 or $3,000 worth of video equipment to be able to do this. And they helped me survive. So I had to help them survive somehow. So
Well, so now we're at the other side of it. This sounds like you and everyone, they've learned some very valuable lessons that you'll carry going forward, you know, out of this experience. What sort of, I mean, there's Pride, and Pride is a celebration every year, but this Pride's got to be a particularly explosive celebration given what everyone's been through.
Correct. I still think that, Pride, it seems like everybody's scrambling to put Pride back together because we didn't know it was going to end so quickly. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just kept dragging on and on and on and on. But now everybody's scrambling to put Pride back together, which is fine. But I don't think we're going to see the full effect of like a kaboom in Pride until next year.
Interesting. I've read a few stories lately talking about members of the gay community decrying the commercialization of Pride Month, corporations turning the logo into the rainbow flag and and sponsoring floats. Now, personally, it occurred to me that, well, it wouldn't be a good thing if you approached the corporations and they said, we're not interested and didn't give you money.
Correct.
So
it's a double-edged sword. Like, honestly, like, I'll be honest. A couple of years ago, I went to the New York City Gay Pride Parade, and I sat there for 6.5 hours, and all it was a great big giant commercial. You know, Bank of America, you know, JetBlue Airlines, Macy's. You know, it was just one float after another, and I'm happy that these major companies and these major corporations are showing their support of the community, but the parade itself should be, you know, it should be the more community based and more commercialization.
Going back to the gay bar situation, I mean, can you give us a flavor for what it was like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, as far as, you know, the number of gay bars and while I know that as a business owner, probably less competition is better, but does a part of you kind of miss the old competitors?
Back then, the entire community could support multiple gay bars. But now, because everything is acceptable, you know, we're going to this straight place, we're going to that straight place, we're going to this pub, we're going to that pub. The community is often their, you know, their watering holes that they've found that they liked. You know, 20 years ago, every single person, whether you're lesbian or gay or bisexual, transgender, you know, black, white, leather, bear, you know, everyone had to go to the same building. You know, now that it's more acceptable, they find their own little places that they're comfortable in. And it's not always necessarily a gay establishment. You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
So 20 years ago, you would walk through the Shay and it wouldn't be, you know, Latin night or leather night or disco night or fetish night or drag night or dance party night. It was lesbians and gays and leathers and bears and twinks, and everybody was in the space together as a community. And now we have to have multiple types and groups of people to sustain the business.
So you're saying, like society in general, the community's been stratified a bit into various silos. You know, certainly has happened to TV watchers. It's happened to news watchers, and sounds like it's happening in your neck of the woods as well.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, John Pepe, and we have to spell this out for folks listening. Not related to the pizza Pepes. Yeah, I know you get asked that question all the time. John Pepe, owner of Shay Est in Hartford, I thank you so much for the time.
Thank you very much.